Welcome to Talking Games with Tim and Clayton. I am one of the two hosts of this show. Tim Dunn, that's my co-host.
Clayton Murchison.
Before this, we were all doing Alan Arkin impressions. Do you just want to do some more?
I kind of was going to do it, and then I was like, wow, there's going to be no context for this.
Clayton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so good, Alan. How are you?
Good. Should we bring in our next guest?
Let's get his ass in here.
Why did I say next? There wasn't a guest before.
The first guest is Alan Arkin.
Yeah,
the second guest is Alan Arkin.
Here's our guest. It's Kellen Tarrant.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Kellen Tarrant.
We sound like the Kennedys.
Yeah, I don't know where Alan Arkin is. Yeah, it's a weird, like, he's a Jew who was born, like, in the Boston area, in, like, in the 70s. So there's, like, also a little bit of, like, a gangster vibe to him. Like, Alan Arkin.
These suits too hot. I just can't eat it right now. My goodness.
This isn't a war. It's a murder.
Kellen, are you proud of us? We went 3 months without...
You've seen me on Twitter, I've been like, I don't know if the podcast is still going on. I wonder if these guys are okay. Have people seen Tim Dunn and Clayton? The longest dry spell.
Probably 12 episodes.
Four times a year, five maybe? That's a low for us with the Kellen episode.
I've loved all the episodes since.
Oh, thanks, man.
There have been some good ones. The one with Nicole was really nice. I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
The Stick and Chain one.
Thank you on her behalf.
Yes.
I speak for both of us. Thank you.
You haven't been in the murder basement, which we've been recording in a few times.
Good lord, right? That murder basement. Let me tell you.
So much murdering. Such a big basement.
Maybe the Nerdlogs presents Murder Basement.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I already forgot.
Got a plug.
Look, all jokes aside, we're very happy about our partnership with Nerdlogs.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the Nerdlogs presents Talking Games with Tim and Clayton. Okay, back into it.
Seamless.
I'm just bad.
None of us remember it.
It's not like you've been doing this for a while. It's absolutely not like it's any sort of like routine that happens every single time.
It's not like I'm gonna ever do it.
No, come on. I never counted on that at all.
I forget. I don't even know where I live.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, I love, when I listen to the podcast, I listen for catchphrases, and it's, hey, everybody. Like, I like that that is your catchphrase. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, God. It's a good introspective.
Let's talk about what games we're playing. Kellen, what are you playing right now?
I'm playing Nuclear Throne right now.
What is that?
It's a Vlambeer game. The guys who did Ridiculous Fishing. What else did they do? Jesus. They did Super Crate Box. And it's a top-down, roguelike, shooter game, I guess. I don't know how you would describe it, but it's a game that's in development.
Sure.
Hint, hint, hint. Maybe that's what we're talking about.
I haven't heard of any of these games.
You haven't heard of Ridiculous Fishing?
It's Ridiculous? I thought you said Rick Goes Fishing.
No, Ridiculous Fishing.
Ridiculous Fishing I've heard about.
Which is a great game. It's a fantastic game. Okay. That's a really fun game.
Yeah, that's the one where you shoot the fish out of the air.
Exactly. Okay, yes. There's a game I can't pronounce. It just came out. I want to say it's Lusitania. That's not what it's called, though. It's a flying game.
Luftrausser.
Yes. Like the German ship that...
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're like planes taking out battleships and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks really fun.
That's a really fun game. Yeah. I've been playing that a lot. I've been playing... I'm on my New Game Plus, I guess, of Dark Souls.
Oh my god. Oh, Dark Souls the original?
The original.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I want to just fucking take the biggest bite of that world out as I possibly can.
Sure.
I couldn't get through my New Game Plus because I was like, I have no motivation.
It just gets harder and harder, right?
It does, but it's also like, you're so souped up by the end of Dark Souls, it's not quite that hard. So, like, a New Game Plus is honestly like, it's a... I was more, like, exploring, and then I quickly realized, like, I didn't give a shit.
And you know all the timing of the people and everything.
For the most part, the hardest bosses are, like, a pushover. Oh, at least for my build.
That's how it feels for me. It kind of feels more like a pushover, but I guess for me, I'm not playing as much games as I want to be playing.
Yeah.
So I can play that game and be like, well, at least I know what I'm doing. I can still have the active play in the
video game. Absolutely. And I would still play it.
Oh, yeah.
So on New Game Plus, is it more like a normal difficulty game?
Like, pretty much.
Okay,
There's still shit. I mean, fucking curses and shit like that fucking destroys you.
Sure.
Or like, seek the Scaleless or whatever, mm-hmm. the fucking giant dragon.
Run away, shoot him with arrows, and then when you get near me, run away again, and then shoot him with arrows. That was my go-to.
That's your go-to.
Get them souls,
isn't it?
Oh, fuck you. Let's get away from those problems.
Shoot the problem from a distance, and then go away.
And then run away.
don't run to me. Happening.
Yeah. I'm not getting this text right now. I'm going to delete it.
What student loan debt? I can't get any voicemails.
I like that there's an undercurrent on the show that I'm like the saddest dude in the world.
On the show. On the show, there's an undercurrent. Yeah, yeah.
Clayton, what are you playing?
Tim, stop crying. I'm trying to talk.
All right.
I've been like bouncing around quite a bit, but I played Spelunky again this week. Like,
awesome.
This was super crazy and kind of awesome. I got off work. I worked Saturday and I was like, getting home, Nicole wasn't home, and I was like, I'll just stick around for a little while on Spelunky, because I didn't know when she was going to be showing up and we're going to eat lunch. I just started a game, and it went exceedingly well. Like, I got a jetpack really early, and I was like, okay. And then I actually beat Olmec, which I never done
before.
That's
awesome.
On just, like, a random playthrough. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck me, that's awesome. Like, I was just like, holy shit. And so I was really happy about that. And then later that day, I just, like, booted up again, just like, I'll play again. And I beat him again.
That's awesome.
Like, twice in one day. And I was like, what the fuck? And now, of course, I'll, like, play it and just suck ass. And I'm like, I just got real.
But
lucky.
You don't want to do, like, the, like, weird run-throughs or anything.
I kind of am tempted, but, like...
get the Ankh and then try and go
over
the
Book
of the Dead.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I've only beaten Olmec once. I felt like it was one of those things where I was like, I don't know if I can do the other sort of runs where you get in the other stuff.
Well, I've gotten the Ankh before, but that was probably as close as I've ever gotten to, the hell levels and stuff. So I beat Spelunky, which was awesome. And, like, fucking doing it, bitch! You know, really excited. And then I just beat Path of Exile, which is a free game I've talked about on the show before. It's like a Diablo-style.
Oh, yes.
Random loot drop dungeon crawler thing. Yeah. I'll talk about it a little bit more because it kind of feeds into what we're going to talk about today.
Cool.
But I just beat that, and that was surprisingly awesome for a totally free game. Mm. Did not pay dime for it.
That's PC?
I think PC only. And I went into the microtransactions just to see, because it was like, I never spent a dime on this game. I played it for 18 hours. Yeah. Like, I might as well take a look. It's all skins and, like, effects. None of it's... But I kind of like that, though.
Really? Because
it's like, you can't buy, like, souped-up weapons that, make the game easier. Like, it's... And there's no need to buy anything. And I was like, okay, well, actually... At first, I was kind of like, lame. Like, I would spend, like, a few dollars on a sword. And then I was like, actually, I respect this. That they're like...
Just to get, like, a hat or, like, a color.
Yeah, you do it if you really want. Yeah, and if you just want to support the developers.
Yeah.
So I, of course, didn't. But
why would you? Fuck those guys.
It gave me 18 hours of free gameplay. But whatever.
As for me, gentlemen, I'm in deep. I'm in deep on this game. I'm taking the hoodie off.
I thought you were going to be wearing
a t-shirt
with the name of the game.
You're going to be wearing a Katamaru Damacy t-shirt.
Are you been playing? You been playing like a Metal Gear or what are you playing?
No, nothing that sad. I turned in what was that? It's a Jack Black.
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend. I played it. I would actually like to hear what you hated about it.
Okay. Right now.
Yeah, hit it.
I really had a lot of trouble with when it turned into like an RTS where you had to like...
Oh, you didn't care for
it? I hated it.
Gotcha.
That. The moment it turned into that, I was like, oh, this isn't what I wanted to do. Huh. And it was like too much management stuff and it like... Like, having to manage, like, okay, well, this thing's getting attacked. I gotta tell my fucking fans to go attack them.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't fucking care. And I just that made me totally check out. I'm bored.
A lot of Tim Schafer's games feel like that, where it's just like, he's like, well, I'm gonna take all these different elements of the game. It's like, no, just make a fucking cool
It's just
game.
Such a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too much.
I will say this, it's also really short.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I probably was further.
Yeah,
along
I think
than
you gave
realized.
It. I think you gave up. But,
yeah,
I
was probably. I was thinking like I can't do this for the rest of like the game.
And there's like
even
a lack
like
of there's a lack of variety in like side quests and stuff like that, which is kind of a bummer.
Oh yeah, I didn't even bother. I was like,
but I didn't hate the game. Like it was kind of an interesting thing, and it's I haven't played a lot like that before. I will agree with you in that like it's not a great strategy game like a Command and Conquer or anything mm-hmm. like that, and I kind of wish it'd just focus on one thing, or, you know, do both better, but... Yeah.
Are you a metal fan, though?
No.
Because that's the thing, I don't understand why that game is interesting to anyone who's not interested in metal or that sort of style of music, because it seems so inside,
right.
and such a risk to be like, we're going to go for this genre of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really like... Jack Black was what made that game fun for me. So then the moment it's like, oh god, like I'm playing a game for the cutscenes is what I thought.
Right.
I enjoyed those more than the actual game.
But then I turned that in, got a solid 50 cents at GameStop for it.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm just done. The guy kept trying to sell me on like, get a Power Up Rewards card. And I was like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm sorry. I'm just never gonna.
Yeah. Fair.
But then I turned it in for a PlayStation Network card and I got, I went old school strategy. I got a PS2 game called, ready for this Japanese game? Okay. Nobunaga's Ambition, : Iron Triangle.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Here's the thing. It's fucking great. It's so good. That being said, 9 out of 10 people who play video games would fucking hate this game.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, sure. It's like the kind of strategy game where you're, like, making sure your crop rotation is correct and shit like that.
Man.
So, like, it's not like Command & Conquer where you're like, oh, I gotta build a bunch of mammoth takes and then go invade.
Sure.
It's like... Oh, I gotta get my navy strong so I can attack their coasts so they divert troops there and then my troops can take over from the other side. You
this is a PlayStation game?
PlayStation 2.
Wow.
Like, it is, the AI stuff is in depth. And I've never played anything like, what are the ones on Steam that are like in depth, strategy ones?
There's like Crusader Kings.
Yes.
That's fun to play.
Yeah.
Those are real, heavy strategy games.
And you can put just hundreds of hours in those things. But yeah, I've never played something quite this intense. It's kind of like Civilization, but without the, like, social and, sort of civil aspects. It's just like military and like making sure your troops get fed.
Wow.
But that being said, it's really good.
Do you have a 3DS?
I do not, no.
Bravery Default, I feel like you guys would really, really like that game. I've been playing it just a little bit, not enough, not too deeply, but like in terms of like, original, the sort of like Japanese style, old school strategy games. They're fantastic.
Oh, it's like a strategy RPG.
Really fun though.
Like top down?
I mean, no, like in the sense of like the redos of the Final Fantasy 4 or 5 that they put out for the DS
a while ago.
But original content, cool systems in terms of job systems and also in terms of like how you do spells and stuff. I felt really, really fun and rewarding the same way that the redo of Zelda this last year felt really good.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nicole has a 3DS. Maybe I'll buy that for her birthday.
Oh.
That is a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Buy her a game I want for her birthday.
I was thinking about this. They released Chrono Trigger in like every new Nintendo system. Like, is there a reason to buy each new one, or is it just...
No, not at all. It's just being able to take it on the bus with you, really. Which was nice, but yeah. I like played it during a road trip where Nicole was driving, and she did not care for that.
Nope.
She's like, okay,
sure.
I'd like to talk to you.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Gotta save the world.
Let me tell you, this is why I like when Kellen's on, because we spend about 15 minutes on the games that we're playing.
Oh, I bet.
Sure.
Sometimes we'll have a guest on and they're like, yeah, I'm playing this. It's good.
Yeah, sure. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then we are like, oh, boy. Let's
you and I really have to milk the first part of the show.
Which I will do regardless.
Happy to be here, folks.
So speaking to what Clayton brought up earlier, we were talking today about beta testing and when a game utilizes this idea and when it's actually released to the public. Did you have a game you've been playing recently that made you think of this?
I've been playing a couple games. I've been playing Starbound, which is kind of a Terraria-style game.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks cool.
Which is really fun. I've been also playing Rust. I've also been playing Nuclear Throne. But then also thinking about a lot of the times when I was playing Minecraft before it ever, you know, got officially released. And thinking about these sort of games that are like, well, we're still figuring out what we want to do with the game, and it's like, well, you're spending $30 on a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
If the content isn't ready, and I'm having this sort of shitty experience, and I'm helping the developers make the game, why am I spending that sort of money on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Absolutely. And I didn't get into Minecraft in the beta phase, but I take it you did.
I did, yeah.
Was it a lot different from what it is now?
I mean, if you think about how stripped down everything was, yeah, in terms of like, nope, it was just a way you could build stuff. And the idea of depth of like, oh, well, let's build up leveling or magic or how you can craft things even deeper and deeper, or these other worlds, or the idea that Minecraft would have an end.
Yes.
Like, that stuff was all added the more and more popular it got.
Right.
You look at games like Rust, for example. Have you been playing Rust?
Do
you
know anything about Rust? I know about it. I haven't played it. It looks like DayZ.
It's like, DayZ and Minecraft kind of combined, yeah, but it's got all this sort of like tribes element also put into it. So it's like there are these servers. So, all right. So Rust is this world where you're living kind of like DayZ, where you only have the things that are on you and you're trying to build an encampment so you don't get killed. Because there's zombies, but there's also, like, bears and ghouls and other stuff that are going to kill you.
Sure.
Everybody else in the server is there to kill you unless you're, like, part of a faction. You can build a house and people can break into the house. They can blow up the house. I don't know. It's really kind of fun in the sense of, like, well, how much time do you want to invest in something that will be destroyed?
Right.
There's guaranteed, that's like...
humanity.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's kind of the element of DayZ where you're like, well, how good do I want this character to be? Because I know this guy's going to die.
When you say, like, stuff gets blown up, is it through the AI or is it through different characters?
There's no... Okay. The only AI is kind of the zombies or the animals. The rest of it is just, gotcha, people in the world.
I see.
And then you have, like, 13-year-old kids in Atlanta who are, like, trolling you. I don't know why I said Atlanta, by the way.
Just because my cousins live there. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They're probably killing Kelly right now.
Oh, fucking Dr. Terradon and Russ. Yeah, we go after his ass. That guy looks stupid. That guy plays a female character. Of course we're going after him. But, yeah, like, I mean, you're like... You spend, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to harvest some wood, and I'm going to harvest some metal, and I'm going to build, like, a little house for myself, and then I'm going to venture out in the world, and I'm going to bring stuff back. And you're like, oh, this feels like Minecraft. This feels really good. And then you sign off, you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, and everything's gone, and you're dead. And you're like, well, what happened? And you don't know. Like, that's people insane, come, yeah, and they murder you in your sleep, and they take everything, and they will literally, like, take your house that you built, and they will pick it up and deconstruct it and take it back to their base and rebuild it. And then you just see these, like, forts building, and you're like, oh, this is what the apocalypse is going to be.
That's pretty...
You better not sleep, because people are going to come take your stuff. It seems like it's one of those games where if you don't have anything going on, it is a huge benefit to you.
Exactly. Yes. And, to tie it into the topic, the game isn't done, so, like, the mechanics of the game don't work, the gunplay doesn't work, they're deciding if they want to put zombies in the game or not have zombies in the game, so then there'll be these patches where everything that everyone's made gets completely wiped. Yeah. So it's like, well, wait, we've all been playing this game for 2 weeks.
Which we all thought was a zombie game.
A zombie game. And now it's getting wiped and now there's no zombies, so it's just everyone versus everyone else.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's like, it's stuff like that where you're like, the same thing happens in Starbound a lot, where you're like, alright, I'm going to build up this character, gets really big, you build some great stuff, then they wipe it and you start over. And sometimes that starting over is really fun because they're adding new elements to it. You're like, oh, cool, I get to re-experience some of these bad guys, I get to re-experience what it's like to find this stuff. But at the same time, you're like, I'm still playing the same fucking game.
Yeah. I haven't been a part of many betas. The ones I can think of are like, what's the PlayStation shooter one that's free and it's not very good? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's not Dust and Elysium Tail. It's like Dust 314 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's really bad.
I never played it. I've heard of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then what's the survival horror thing that I showed you with the thing that
follows Haunted
you
Memories?
Yes. That's okay. But,
fucking freaked me out. But then I don't even know what's happening. Right.
But I don't know, is this like an economic thing now where like, they just need the money up front to the point where it's like, hey, we'll let you in on the process of making the game. But is that an entertaining thing at the same time? Is that something you pay extra for?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's
upfront,
complete. Yeah. It is bullshit, for the record.
Yeah,
like, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking drives me insane. Because it is really trying to say, like, okay, we don't know if this is going to sell well, so we're going to put it out there, and if that does well, then we'll give you a complete game.
Right.
But it's, like, it's punishing the people who, like, want want the product.
They don't do that with a movie. Like, hey, come check out how we're filming this movie.
It's like, fuck, if we're going to put out Deep Impact, and if you like that, you'll get Armageddon. You know, it's like, they don't do shit like that. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And if they did, people would lose their fucking minds.
Yeah.
And yet, it's totally okay. And it all started with DLC. It all started, actually, you know, I love this game, but this was one of the games that kind of fucking pissed me off for this reason was Fallout 3.
Yeah.
I'm yelling so much.
Don't worry about it. I'm just moving it a little away from
Just so we're all clear.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. I'm getting too real for the podcast.
Whoa, come on.
Mike's gotta get away. Yeah, but no, it was Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. They gave you a good game, a great game,
and then
an amazing
five
game.
Pieces of DLC.
And which, like, extended the game. Because it was when you finished that game, you would die, and you wouldn't get to play anymore. And people, I guess, like, pitched a fit, so they're like, oh, we'll just, like, make it so you can free roam after you die. Yeah.
But there's also a level cap, and it's like, well, why not just... Why make a DLC that extends the level cap?
Yeah, it's just that WoW, that World of Warcraft style mentality of like, well, we're gonna get you in, and then we're gonna like add more stuff to it that you have to still pay for.
Yeah,
like I bought The Wolf Among Us, which I love.
Yeah,
and it's great. It's a great Telltale game, but I was like, I bought the first episode, and then I was like, okay. When this next episode comes out, am I going to get it for free? And I honestly didn't know. I couldn't find a way. Hey, wait, I did.
Oh,
which,
did you really?
Yeah, which, good on you, Telltale. But but like Broken Age, which was like a Kickstarter game, so they've made all their money. They've
already the Tim Schafer one.
Which is also a good game, but it's like they've already made all the money they need, so they don't. It's almost like. If you make a good game now, that's like the bonus. I'm like, fuck you. No, that's the reason you're doing it. So, I don't know. I get real annoyed by stuff like this but I do love some of these early access games. Don't get me wrong.
They're fun, but to your point, like, so a AAA game like Fallout 3 is very, very different than Broken Age and is very different than Rust or Minecraft. It took Minecraft 3 years to go from beta to finally being done.
But did you pay for the beta or did you...
Yeah, I paid $15 for the beta.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, this is how unfamiliar I am with betas. Do you pay for the beta and then pay for the full game or are you just in once you pay for the
beta? Once you pay for the beta, you're in.
Okay.
And usually you're in.
So it's kind of a leap of faith in that this is going to be a good game.
Exactly.
Okay,
I think there's an element of like, well, there's a level of kind of, venture capitalism.
Yeah.
Where you're like saying, I'm willing to put my money forward and trust that what I'm seeing so far has the potential to keep me interested.
Right. Yeah.
But I think there are too many games out there that are not finished and are just going to remain in this constant beta because people will get excited about just the content rather than thinking, well, let's make a... Games are supposed to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're playing these games so we can play a completed game.
Yeah. Right? I bought DayZ, which was like $60 on Steam. And I bought it because I was like, well, I mean, they've been working on this forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I played it as like the Arma 3 mod. And it didn't fucking work. And I was like, well, this sucks. So I got DayZ and I wandered around for like hours and hours. And I was like, oh, man, like I need an actual game.
Yeah.
I can't do this. I don't know what they want from it. It's like, ooh, he didn't pick up that flashlight. Why didn't he pick up the flashlight? He's like, fuck off. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you're a guinea pig, very much so, because you're like, I don't know what's fucking happening. And I paid full price for that game. If I'd known, I probably would not have picked it up, to be honest with you.
There are, like, success stories. Like, it's sort of that thing of, like, do the ends justify the means? Like, I bet Minecraft really needed that money up top with the beta testing, you know?
I mean, maybe. I feel like Minecraft... The one Minecraft needed is Minecraft needed YouTube.
Sure.
Like, there wouldn't be...
It needed exposure.
It needed exposure, and that's what a lot of these games have. You have stuff like Twitch and YouTube and other things where are going to get people excited about it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kickstarter. Like, I kind of struggle back and forth with Kickstarter when it comes to games because I'm like, oh, man, this game looks great. Oh, there's a Kickstarter campaign for it. Well, does that mean I'm ever going to play the game?
Yeah.
It's like, so I invest in the game now. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to spend $60 or $100 on a game and I get like a poster and a CD and all this other stuff. It's like, but is this game ever going to get made?
See, FTL like spoiled us.
Yeah.
Because FTL, not only did they make more money than they anticipated, they put all that extra money into the game.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
It's so good. And now they've released an advanced edition, which was a free DLC basically for people who bought the game. That's awesome. They should talk. That's how it should be. Yeah.
And that allows them to then get it on the mobile platform. Because right. FTL on the iPad is so fun.
Yeah. It's like $10.
Yeah, it's $10. And it's just like, that's great. That's what you want. You've already got the game. Yeah. You do the quick port. More people play it. It's a fantastic game.
I love it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was like the first Kickstarter game I really ran across. Mm-hmm. And they had, even like just before you donated the Kickstarter, they had like a little alpha demo. Or not even an alpha. It was like a beta demo.
Yeah.
That you could play. It was super short, super fun, and it was like, I probably played that for 10 hours just in and of itself, because it was still roguelike and shit would be different every time. But oh my fucking god, like, I am so mad about, like, the Oculus Rift thing, where they just sold to
Facebook. We haven't talked about that at all.
We haven't really talked about that, but it's stuff like that. That's what, like, Kickstarter makes me fucking crazy right now, because I'm thinking of that specifically as, like, okay, cool, I'm gonna give, like, $50 to this, you know, like, organization or whatever, and then they can do whatever they want
whatever
with
they want
them.
To do. Yeah.
Because it's their money now.
Yeah. There's not a guarantee that they're going to make a game. There's not a guarantee that you're going to give anything. You are making an investment, and we don't think about it like you're making an investment in a company or like a stock. We're thinking about it, well, we get a product, because we're thinking about a video game, because that's what we think about video games. We think it's a product.
And if, like, we'd all bought stock in Oculus Rift, we all would have gotten a payout.
Yeah, absolutely.
From that's the thing, though. It's like, when you do Kickstarter, it's all this crowdfunding, so it's like, well, we don't owe you guys anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you're doing this
eat
in the,
my dick, dude.
Yeah.
That is
you took
such
my money.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
right.
it's like, no, you used my money to make a, like, whatever, $2 billion or whatever they make.
The same way about AAA games like Fallout, where it's like, no. I paid you $60 for a game, and now I have to pay an additional $15 to $20 for each chapter of the game I already own.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And it just, it's like, no, my money paid for you to make the game complete more, and now I have to pay you for that, or you wait 2 years and then you get the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
like, okay, so why didn't the Game of the Year edition just come out when it was done?
I think the first time I got really upset about that was Mass Effect 3, when like day one there was this Prothean character, and I was like, well, that sounds really interesting, can I just have that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that seems almost integral to what this experience.
Hey, fucking that, yeah, that whole thing, it was just like, DLC left, right, and center. I mean, it's gotten to the point that they just figured out, like, wait a minute, we can give people like a half finished game and they'll pay for the other half, even though they paid full price for half a game.
Yeah.
And it's just, certainly, like, not all the companies are doing this. So, you know, it's like, you get The Last of Us, you don't need any DLC for that game. And
no, there's good stuff.
I'm sure there is, but
you get stuff like, Rocksteady with Grand Theft Auto V. The online part is one of the biggest selling parts of that game.
Yeah.
It's not ready, and when it is ready, it's also not ready. It's broken. It's broken for months, and when it's finally up and around, the game's been released for almost half a year at that point. So it's like, that's a AAA title. That game made $6 billion.
For real?
It broke all these records.
All the records, and the game is still not finished.
But was the multiplayer, that was free? Or?
The multiplayer is free, but there's also all the microtransactions in terms of, like, skins, cars, or anything other bullshit.
Get
like that,
chump,
you know?
A new color, you know, that kind of stuff.
Can you imagine if, like, you were playing Dark Souls, and it was like, hey, you can get, like, 10 more souls for 15 cents. You know, like, it's... holy shit.
I can, though.
That is exactly where we're heading, to that point where it's just like everything's microtransaction. Everything's like, just if there's a chance that you will spend some more money, they'll give you that chance. And it's just that thing of like, I don't mind, you know, like, I don't mind microtransactions that much, like being available. I hate pay to win stuff, like, you know, Plants vs. Zombies 2.
It's fucking
disgusting.
After a while, it was just unplayable.
Yeah, I stopped playing it. I didn't want to beat it because I was like, well, if I have to pay to actually beat this game, I'm not interested in playing it.
And then, but, you know, I've been definitely complaining about this stuff for years because it's always bothered me. But like at the same time, I can't believe this Path of Exile. Like I can't say enough good things about this game. It's a complete game. It like has a beginning, middle, and end to the story. Like all, the character tree, like the skill tree, you like zoom out and it's like Final Fantasy X style, like you know, like, and it's huge. It's gigantic. This gigantic skill tree and like six or seven different like character build. I was just like, holy shit, there's so much stuff here. And yeah, it has like a few bugs, but I'm like, this is no worse than like Torchlight or Torchlight 2.
Sure,
you know? Like, Torchlight 2, which was like a full, you know, full game. And I couldn't believe it. It's so fucking good. And they really didn't do anything that like, you know, would make you feel bad or make you feel like, weird about it. Like, with the fact that it's a totally free, you know, early, I don't even know if it is early access, honestly. It feels so done.
Yeah.
But they're like, hey, we might release, like, more acts or more chapters or DLC or stuff like that, but it's all gonna be free. And I'm like, where the fuck are you getting this money from? Like, are you just, like, trust fund kids? Like, I don't know where the, cause it's stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know how you're able to make this work. Yeah. But god damn it, I respect the hell out of that, that move to just, like, not make it play to win.
So who's
so rare
doing it right in terms of how to do this kind of, like, Steam? Is that the go-to?
No, I don't know if Steam's the thing that's doing it right, because Steam's where all of these early access, like, shit games live.
Yeah.
You know, because you can put your game up on Steam and get it greenlit.
Yeah.
You get on Reddit, you're like, great, greenlight our game. It goes up. Hey, pay for this game, and the game will never get done.
Yeah, and I see, and like, every third game I see, they're, like, on sale, you know, it's like, this early access game is on sale. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean on sale?
But the days of, like, going to the store and buying a $60 game are coming to an end pretty soon, right?
They've gotta be. I really can't see it happening. Like, and I don't think it's the bad thing, necessarily, that's happening, but I think if you're paying, like, $30 for a half-finished game, I'm like, that's fucked up.
See, that's what I think is going to happen, is we're going to be downloading these games, we're not going to be having a disc, so if you download the game, it's like, great, it's only $30, but it's a third of the game, and then they can just string it along with DLC, and they're going to be making $80 in the end, if they really want it, at launch. That's the thing, it's like, a lot of these games are going to be at launch with DLC. We'll have three chapters of DLC, so it's a normal game, it's gonna be $70.
Yeah.
You wait a year, you wait 6 months, you get the Game of the Year edition, plus you'll get, you know, these skins and this multiplayer pack, plus you also have to get the season pass. The fucking season pass is the most bullshit in the world, where it's like, you know?
I remember getting one for, like, BioShock Infinite, because I was like, I know I'm going to wind up buying all the DLC for this fucking game. I might as well just, like, you're, like, hedging your bets.
Yeah.
Like but then it was, like, I was worried because, you know, the Irrational Games shut down, and I was like, oh, fuck me. Are they not going to come out with any more DLC?
And you don't know.
You don't know
if they're going to do that.
Exactly.
And you really want to think, like, BioShock Infinite, oh, they're above this.
They wouldn't do that, but it's like, well, yeah, but that's 2K who's also doing this. You have to think about it's like, there's the developer, and then there's the publisher, and the publisher is going to be the ones. It's the EAs. You know, it's those are the guys who are ultimately making those sort of decisions to say, no, we're the last part of the tube between, you know, the game and the people, and they're the ones who are saying this is how much you're actually going to get.
And that is part of the thing, is like these indie games that we wind up getting, a lot of the time they are the half-finished games. But, I mean, I remember just, like, playing the original Assassin's Creed, and that felt like a fucking beta.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, and it was like, of course we all paid, like, full price, but that was like a fucking AAA release. Yeah.
And, like Fable, super hyped. Like, before it came out.
Huge. Yeah. And so they were like, of course we're going to make our money back and make the next game better. Because they must have been so cheap to make.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Well, what I don't know, and I guess thinking about this kind of coming in here, is like, well, whose fault is this? Is this the game developer's fault? Or is
Tim's fault.
Is it Tim Dunn's fault?
What did I do?
You know what you did, Tim.
I'm sad, okay?
But I think there's a part of it that's like, well, is this our fault because we're so fucking ravenous for games that the game developers can't keep up with our need to play new games? So they're like, all right, well, we can make an 80% done game and have it released on time, and they'll buy it because it's got Assassin's Creed, or it's got the BioShock, or it's got something on there.
Absolutely.
And it's like, well, great, we're the ones who are telling them they can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. It might seem like a bit of a jump, but do you think there's going to be another generation of consoles?
Oh, after this one, not actual console. I think handhelds will probably stick around.
But can the handhelds exist in this land when you have iPhones? And, like, you can play solid games on iPhones.
I don't know, man. I used to think that the iPhone was the place where it was going to be, but I don't see games coming out of iOS or even Android that seem competitive. Because the Android system, they're just, well...
Oh, no doubt there's better games on the handhelds, for sure. But, like, I think, like, 95% of the people don't play those games, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the handheld market's shrinking.
What, in the United States?
Yes.
The handheld market isn't shrinking in Europe. The handheld market isn't shrinking in Asia.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's, like, as consoles kind of diminish, I think they're going to go more the route of being handheld devices. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see something that's kind of a, sort of the Wii U style stuff, which I fucking can't believe I'm saying this, but it's really true. I mean, PlayStation's releasing, or Sony's releasing something really similar.
Yeah.
I think this year, maybe, or next year. They're basically doing like another Wii U, but with like Sony trademark on it. That's basically the difference. Yeah. So it's probably going to have a more powerful rig, but I mean, it's not going to be that different.
It's like,
we're going to see more shit like that.
You remember when arcades were dying, and the only reason, like, everything in an arcade towards the end was, like, something you had to be physically there that you couldn't do in your console, like a guitar, like a, before they became popular, Guitar Hero, or like a dancing thing. It's got to be those
things. Or like Time Crisis, you know, like, that's, like, you know, you got the little thing where you can duck. And
Silent Scope.
Silent Scope.
I played a lot of Silent
Sniper
Scope.
Oh, man, it's, I was, like, because there you were, like, foiling assassinations or something. But I was like, I think I'm the assassin. Like, I think
shooting
I'm
shooting dudes in the head through the scope.
It's just, what if it was, you just, like, you shoot one target, and then the rest of the game is, like, disassembling your gun. This is something that got put in the briefcase.
Walk away.
Be
walk
calm. Away. Be calm.
Yeah. Your heart rate down. Keep your heart rate down.
That sounds like a great game.
It's early access. $20. You get to play this. You have to provide your own sniper rifle.
By the end, just so you know, it's going to be a strategy.
Exactly.
We're trying to
decide. There's more TS stuff.
We don't know if we want zombies in there. We're going to put them in now. We're going to see. Yeah.
But with things like the Steam, is it called the Steam Box? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the Steam Box.
Even the Steam Box. I remember I was on here on the podcast saying I was the most excited for the Steam Box. And now as the boxes are coming out, I'm looking at the specs. I'm looking at everything else. I'm like, fuck.
It's so lame.
It's so lame. And I'm like,
there are a few different versions.
There's six different versions and they're all stupid. And I'm like, I'd rather spend $1,500 and get a rig like you have.
Yeah,
get a real fucking computer.
That you can play for years.
You can play for years. You can do a lot of other stuff on it. And then you have just a little converter that allows you to have your, you know, your PlayStation or your DualShock 3 or your Xbox controller.
I don't know if you realize this stuff. I think you get some hats for Team Fortress 2 when you buy the Steam Box. Also,
I will say,
type of controller.
I do like Team Fortress 2 for some of that customability stuff. And if we want to have a conversation about microtransactions on another podcast, you know I got nothing going on in my life, and I'll gladly come here and talk about all the reasons why I'll spend money on a game this
week.
We'll
hit you up in July.
Great.
Or two weeks from now. Who knows?
We're going to wait for your son to have his first words. Then
he'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out.
I don't know.
It's just walking. Just figure it out.
You figure it out.
You know what I mean? You're a smart guy. You got my
you got it. Come on. You're white. What's going to be hard for you? You're fine.
You're a white male.
You're a white male living in America. You're fine.
Your biggest problem is going to be like microtransactions.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Interrupting your Angry Birds game,
and your ancestors were soldiers and shit for kings.
Poor you.
What was the other console that came out that just it sucks and it was a Kickstarter thing?
The Ouya.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that ate shit.
I mean, I guess Towerfall is still one of those really fun games, but now you can play Towerfall on Steam or on PlayStation 4. Yeah. So it's like, alright, so the one killer app for the Ouya is gone.
That's right. And I forgot that was like an Ouya game.
It's an Ouya game, and then also the Amazon Fire TV has a game playing device in it, they also have like a controller that looks like an original Xbox controller, the big, bulky, where it's so going to give you hand cramps to play.
I think I saw
it.
That, yeah.
And it's like, all it is, it's just Android ports from your Kindle Fire. That's all you're playing on this.
And if we can think back to, like, you remember the thing you would throw in your Super Nintendo that had a Game Boy slot, so you would play Game Boy games
your Super Game Boy
Nintendo? Yeah. It wasn't great. You play a couple times, and you'd be like, oh, these aren't the quality that I'm looking for in this console. Like, yeah. It's a similar thing. Like, why would you want to blow up iPhone or Android games onto a television?
Yeah.
Why don't you use that for something better?
Yeah, where the resolution's exactly. not going to be the shittiest.
Yeah, so the frame rate's going to be, you know, God, 15 frames per second, but it looks good on your hand phone.
Right.
So. On your hand phone.
On your hand phone, as I like to call them. Yeah, yeah. The kids phones say, you yeah. carry around in your hand all the time.
Yeah, hand phone, yeah. Right, playing games on your hand phone.
Use your hand, play a game. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know, man. I still haven't talked to anyone who says that they have a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One who's blown away by it and loves it.
I've heard the same stuff.
It's just like one of those things where you think like, oh, Titanfall. Everyone's talking about Titanfall. It's like, no one's talking.
Well, and then of course it's like it really came alive on the PC. So they were like, we should do an Xbox 360 version, and they did.
They did.
They released a port to 360, and it's basically just like looks shittier. But okay, I mean. Yeah. Everyone's playing that one because they're fucking in the Xbox
One. I feel like PS3 and 360 are going to be around for a while still.
Well, yeah. Think about how long the PS2 has still been around.
Yeah.
You know?
It's historically like the most sold system of anything.
I think so. I mean, it really was like the best because it was like they didn't sacrifice anything to like, there's no fucking TV to watch on it. You know, like it's not,
right.
It just doesn't have some console. Bullshit. Oh. Like, you know, it doesn't have a built-in Kinect. It doesn't even have the option to like talk to the game. Why the fuck would you? Back briefly to, the Oculus Rift thing.
Oh, yeah.
I actually went online and, like, watched some of the videos of, like, people playing, like, Skyrim on it. And
which
doing
sounds
all this
amazing.
Stuff. And it made me so sad. It's like, it seriously is like you're living in the time of, like, a heartbreaking, like, tragedy for video game nerds. But... Oh man, I was just like, God, the fucking possibilities, and now,
but Sony, it's not like that, like Oculus has the only ability to have that.
Very
technology.
True.
Sony's 100%. Trying to do something like that. Microsoft absolutely has something cooked up like that, but it's like, that's just as much of a peripheral as the Kinect is.
Yeah.
But the Kinect is such a like, kind of like ethereal sort of thing that doesn't seem to work. The Oculus Rift is something you're actually experiencing. So to all of us who grew up in the 80s were like, fucking VR was the reality that we wanted. The Oculus Rift seems like the thing is like, yeah, that's what we want.
It's like watching the original Matrix movie and being like, oh God, oh fuck, but then the sequels.
Yeah. But like, I feel like it's so easy to sell the Wii to, you know, parents and senior citizens who just want a bowl. Mm-hmm. Oculus Rift is like kind of an invasive thing.
It's pretty, you know? I can't imagine. I mean, well, I forget that like by the time the Oculus Rift is going to be in households, mm-hmm. like some pretty techie people are going to be like, you know, hitting that age group. because we're probably not going to see it in the next, couple years.
And also everything I've heard about the Oculus Rift is like, oh yeah, one in four people gets violently ill.
That's right.
Like, your brain just can't handle it, and you get violently ill. And there's no way to tell if that's you or not. It's just, like, something in your brain handles it or doesn't handle it. It's like your cilantro sort of, like, so not being able to eat cilantro. Something you can't control.
So maybe one of the three of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing with the 3DS of, like, some people just can't handle looking at for a certain amount of time. I feel like the more amazing these technologies get, similar to the Matrix, like, people are just going to drop off. Like, I just can't do this.
I think I'm done.
Yeah.
They're definitely, as I get older, I wonder about what's going to be the video game, like, development that's going to say, like, well, I'm done, and I just hang up my video game stuff. Like, what's going to be the thing of, like, a trend in video games, or, like, oh, this is where video games are going, this is the future of video games. Thinking about, like the guys who were playing Donkey Kong and Q-Bert, and then fucking the N64 came out, and they're like, I'm done. I'm done with
too much.
I can't do it.
It's going to be when it's all online. And, and like, you won't have a choice. People will just come into your game and, like, fuck with it. I know that that's gonna happen probably in the next 20 years. And it'll be fucking stuff like Facebook. It's just, you know, anybody who's, like, on the same server can just pop up in your game and start fucking around with stuff. And because we're gamers, we're kind of control freaks. We'll be like, fucking get out of here.
Out of here.
So do you think there just won't be a market for single player anymore at a certain point?
I think at some point, I don't know if it'll be that there's not a market for it. I think everything's just gonna try to appeal for that multiplayer market.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we saw it with like the Xbox One. It's like you can go always on, like always online. And I think it's gonna be stuff like that. Like a really good game comes out that I really want to play, and the moment I get into it, I'm just like hearing screeching 13-year-olds, and I'm like, oh fuck, I can't do this.
And I feel like that's going to then take the place of actual content. I mean, to bring it back, it'll be like, well, the players will create the content. We don't have to create the content.
Yes, exactly.
Why create AI systems when we'll just have 13-year-old kids from Atlanta trolling each other on the fucking game? And that just upsets me even more, being like, no, make a fucking game with AI and villains and a story and characters rather than, well, here's the fucking world and just let them all fuck each other and piss on the things and destroy things.
For $40, they'll pay that.
They'll pay it, whatever, and they'll fuck each other and they'll love it, you know?
I think that's the way it's going. But yeah, like, hopefully, before that, we'll get like some kind of holodeck thing. Yes. And I'll just like...
or like an insert into the brain kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh god, you know, that's going to be the thing it's like...
Yeah, man.
When we pick that up, like, the three of us are going to be like, I don't know... I'll try it.
I'm trying to think what age we'll be at. Early 50s, and that's going to be, like, normal?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Really? I hope not, man.
That seems like a bit of a leap, like, jacking in.
That's bad, yeah.
I mean, we could have said in the 90s. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, when The Matrix comes out, we're like, oh, that's going to be here in the next 5 years.
That's
true. It's been 20 years since The Matrix came out, right? We're nowhere closer to that.
It's true.
So this has been old men complaining.
Yeah. Boy, I miss the games where this used to happen.
Real quick.
Too many minority characters in video games.
Whoa.
Hey, he's just old. He doesn't know any better.
Let's remind our listeners that in maybe episode 2 or 3, Callan was a guy that talked about how he just went around killing Khajiit.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, I can't find that episode. That episode disappeared.
Oh, no.
You can't mention it.
That is maybe one of our best Callan episodes.
I think so. Because it's me there.
It's a love episode.
I'll fucking kill those Khajiit people. I'll kill them all. I'll still play that game. I see a fucking cat person and I'm like,
you're gonna get us banned.
Sneaky cat people.
If you have a problem with Kellen's hatred to the Khajiit, call in the 405 John Nerd and leave a message for Kellen.
You guys have me on it. It's like I'm the Adam Carolla of the group. And like, I'm just there to fucking stir shit up. Right. Being like, oh, Daniel Strauss said this. Oh, by the way, Dan Strauss, I'm calling you out. I'll see you on Xbox Live. Oh. We're playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and I'm gonna see you on the playing field.
Amazing. I mean, I'm calling you out. It doesn't actually say anything about it. It just says I'm gonna play
a video game with you. Strauss is too busy and successful to play video games.
We gotta have Strauss on again. I want to have more crazy shit.
Yeah, another 2-hour episode. Well, I love you, Daniel. We've got some positive stuff, though. There's some
I think it's if it's done Shadowrun's another great example of a
Kickstarter
game.
It turned out to be
okay. Yeah.
That was an interesting one, because I think they tried. Like, they didn't half-ass it. They put out some good content. They said that, like, this is also for, like, players to create content, and they gave them the tools. And I was like, okay, this is good. I just don't think it was the most successful. Which, because it was like, well, you've got some problems with it, some mechanics. And then they fixed all that stuff in, like, basically DLC. Mm-hmm. But the DLC was like, what, like $20 or $15 or something like that? And the game originally, I think, was like 10.
Yeah.
And really what you were paying for was like the access to all that stuff and then like a short campaign. So I was like, well, it's basically the same sort of thing. Yeah. But with some updates that fix it. I wish they'd done just like a free update, but I think, you know, it's like, well, you know, fucking hey, we gotta make some money.
And there's an example too, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, Journey, no DLC, right? What is it?
But also like a complete game when it came
out. Exactly, yes. So there's still, or what's the one where you're, Gone Home. You know, no yeah. DLC. That there's just still,
still. Have you played Gone Home yet?
Yeah. There's still just right. beautiful experiences, and they're not. They don't have to be that expensive either. If it's 2 or 3 hours and it's $10, great, I'll pay for it.
And that's a complete game, yes. though. Mm-hmm. Even though you play Gone Home, and yeah, some of the assets are like, oh, I've seen that same pizza box, I've seen that same thing. You're not playing Gone Home the same way you're going to play an Assassin's Creed yeah, game. You're right, playing Gone yeah. Home because you're like, I'm taking the next 3 hours off. I'm going to sit in my room. I'm going to have this moment. Like,
oh, I can't yeah. remember barely any Assassin's Creed moments, but Gone yeah. Home, I remember most mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah. And I think that's also the thing is, like, it's ambition,
yes.
like, kind of overtaking everything else. It's like, we really want to make this giant, epic, kind of perfect game, but, like, the bigger it gets, the harder it is to just keep all those balls in the air. And it's just like with any computer programming is the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the simpler, the better. Like clean oh, yeah. code, you know, just like yeah. keeping things compartmentalized. It's just, it becomes too much to handle when you have, and so they yeah. have these fucking 300 person teams.
That's like why that. I go back to Minecraft. It's just like, that sure. was a game, the simplicity of it, and just being like, we're going to add this small thing. We're going to yeah. add this small thing, so that when it's finally done, it feels like a complete game. But having played it since the beta, being like, man, I remember when they added this system. I remember it. It's like those small steps over the next 2 year process. You're like, I like the game. Everything they're adding to the game, I like it. It gets bigger. It gets better. It started something really simple, and I guess yeah. from there, I like that sort of way they're doing yeah. it. But I do agree with you, Clayton. I think there are some games that set off to have these, you know, impossible to fulfill, yeah. you know, promises to their the potential customers because they think they have to compete with these AAA games rather yeah. than thinking, let's yeah. do something simple. And if you guys like this and we like, we're going to try and do something more.
Exactly. I could not be happier with stuff like FTL.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, that game is so perfect. Even just like,
you don't need amazing graphics. It's just beauty, you know, like yeah. in its yeah. simplicity.
The yeah. system in which you're yes, playing it, literally. The world in which you're living in.
Yeah. And it's, and so, yeah, I applaud those guys who, like, really, like, they didn't know what it was going to be, mm-hmm. maybe, but they had a very strong vision of, like, what it could be. And I think that it's, yeah, when you go into something like, I don't even know a good example, like this fucking Rust game, you know? Like,
or even DayZ.
Where it's like, we don't yeah, totally understand. Right, yeah. I think DayZ, yeah, honestly, it feels directionless. It feels more like, we have this huge idea, but it's like, how are you ever going to make yeah. that happen? I don't know. And like, even if you get all that money, like, organizationally, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of fucking work. And I don't know how much, you know, at what point are you going to basically, like, George R. R. Martin it and be like, I don't know anymore, I'm only yeah. working 1 hour a week on this yeah. thing. You know, it's like, you fucking fat bastard. Yeah. Fuck that guy, by the way.
Fuck that guy.
That, there's a guy who's never going to fucking finish his
He's just in too deep, from what I get, like, he's created a brilliant thing in, like, with 5 out of 7, wow. and then it's like, brilliant? How do you dismount? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about brilliant.
And, of course, he made fun of Lost Ending.
Exactly, yes!
It's just like, what are you doing, you fat old bastard? Like, A, you should be writing. B, don't get on Twitter and start calling people out. Like, this ending wasn't very good.
I think and coming just off it yourself, just look to Breaking Bad. Like,
yeah.
it doesn't
yeah.
promise anything huge at the end. It's just like, look, this is how it's going to end.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also said, great, 5 years, this is what we're doing. Yep, we're going to do 5 years, and the show will be over.
Yeah.
I'm going to do 6 books. The book's going to be over in the 6th book. Just fucking end it.
Yeah, it's just knowing sort of where you want to end up, I think. I think that was the best thing about, like, playing these smaller indie games like Journey sure. and all these things. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you didn't have to fucking, you know, change the world. But, like, in a weird way, I think they kind of do level the playing field of, like, yeah. hey, yeah, anyone can do this. You just have to have that strong vision and a need, like, a story to really want to tell.
Yeah, I think about, like, Amnesia, you know.
Yes.
The first Amnesia, really simple, really, really great. The fucking pig game, the sequel, terrible. And you're just like, well, wait a second. You had it so good. Nope, it's a cash grab. It's a way to make more money. Exactly. This was so good. Let's do it again. It's like, no.
What was the thing there? Did they just streamline it? Or
I think so. They made it. They like, took away all the stuff that made it hard and the stuff that made it scary.
No.
So it was like, Wait, why are we doing this then?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, that's a whole other podcast, this idea of like, well, you know, when we were playing video games, when you fucking were playing Mario Brothers and you died, you started over from the beginning, and you got pissed and you threw your controller and you said, I'm never doing this again. As opposed to now, you die, you're like, oh, 9,000 continues. You know? But that's the reason I'm liking playing Dark Souls. Because it's hard to play. It feels like I'm risking something.
Yeah.
As I'm dying, my inability to play the game well is affecting my ability to still play the game. And I like that. I like that it has that sort of effect. And
we're already hearing that Dark Souls 2 is easier than the first one, you know.
Yeah, I've already heard that too. But it's interesting because they made some stuff easier, then made other stuff more difficult. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like these assholes.
Before we go, Wolf Among Us, as good as Walking Dead?
No.
No?
But it's good. It's okay. Like, I actually really enjoy it because I'm not a big fan of the Fable comics necessarily, but I like the characters, and I actually think they do a really good job of making you go like, huh, like, who do I want to be? Because you're playing Bigby.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And there is a real feeling of like, you do kind of to an extent control like his reactions to stuff, but everybody has this preconceived notion about Bigby that they fucking hate him and he's like, he's a violent asshole and blah blah blah. And it's like you can either fight against that or you can totally indulge and be that guy. And I'm like, that's kind of, I actually really like doing stuff like that. Like, you know,
playing morally good, it makes it hard to, I mean.
Yeah, it's like, you were actually actively fighting against other characters being, you know, who are like, hey, like, you're like, I heard you kind of enjoy this stuff. And it's like, you can say, no, I don't. But then they're like, I don't know if I believe you. It's like, asshole, you know?
And they're doing Borderlands and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see
I'm
what the
worried
Borderlands
they're
going to
spread
is.
Themselves too thin, like, with these games.
I mean.
But you have to think, they also did the Jurassic Park and the Back to the Future games while they were doing Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I think Telltale has a bunch of people working on different, you know, they're like, great, we got this group working on the Walking Dead games, we got this group working on the Fables games. I'm waiting until it's all done, and then I'm going to play it. I did the same thing with The Walking Dead, because I want
to
binge
on it.
That's
the smart way to do it.
I want to binge on it. Like,
I finished the third episode this last week, I think, and I was like, oh, fuck, like, I want more. It's very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Borderlands, not so much interested in the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I'm also interested in, like, well, what other assets are out there for Telltale?
Yes,
like, I mean,
right.
What else are they going to do in terms of, you know, making these sort of playable stories? I mean, I think Telltale is, you know, they've got a great little mind going in terms of these Walking Dead games, but, like, there's only so many comics they could do that with.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Can I get the
Preacher game.
The Preacher
game. Like, oh my god. Yeah, that would be interesting,
nuts.
But it would also be like,
what the fuck am I playing?
How do you do that?
Battle Pope game.
Callan, thank you so much for
coming. Oh, my pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
As always.
This was a good one. And I rarely think that.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to leave some message, call 405-JAW-NERD. Listen to MBSing, which we've all been on now.
Yeah.
Clayton talked about sex. Listen to that one.
That's a fantastic episode, by the way.
Dude, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do some sex involved.
And the Nerdalogs and your stories. And hey, you know what? But we had this old tradition where I was like, if you want to write us a review, write about an episode of Wings. Let's bring
that
back, okay? So write a review about an episode of Wings.
With me, Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin.
I was in Wings a lot, you know. Who's got plugs? Kellen, you got anything you
want to plug? Venkman, an independent team I'm on. It's an Upstairs Gallery team. We're doing a special night on the 24th. It's a Thursday. So it's not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday. Doing a whole night at the Upstairs Gallery.
Nice.
Free. As most Upstairs Gallery shows are. My IO team, American Standard, no more shows this schedule, but hopefully shows coming up in the next schedule.
Sure.
So, also Unemployed Life Fridays, Unemployed Life, YouTube, Blip, iTunes, Twitter, MySpace.
You're slowing down.
I'm tired.
Clayton,
I got a baby, guys.
Oh, tough life. God, really white hard. Baby.
Another white baby in the world.
Yeah, late 90s has officially started their run at I.O., their open run, woo! Thursdays at 8, mm-hmm. With two new Herald teams opening. It's last week was a lot of fun. I imagine that this week will be a repeat of fun. Also, not a show I'm in, but so I know. I know, guys. Wow. It's weird that I'm plugging.
I like this hot plug too.
That's wow, crazy. But I'm directing a show.
Oh, wow, that's great.
It's it's opening for a sketch review that I should know the name of, but I don't offhand. It's Paul Chimko and Mike Mularkey doing a sketch right. show on also on Thursdays at 8. But at
which one
CIC.
Should they go to? Play?
Well, here's the thing: come to my show certainly, but if you want to see maybe on one of the nights you're not seeing me, rare though they are, you could go to CIC. Opening for that show is The Life and Times of Wes Reams, which is a solo performance by Tyler Parker that I'm actually really proud of. I really think is good. He wrote the whole thing, and I just directed it. And guy's extremely talented. So
you're doing a lot of directing. Yeah.
Really, just that. What
those two?
Yeah. No, I'm not directing the Paul Chimko. Oh, excuse me. I'm not directing Paul Chimko and Mike Mularkey.
Sounded like you want.
Yeah, I thought that. Right. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's
taking credit for stuff you're not doing.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Listen. If that sweetens the pot at all,
sure,
I'm only
yeah.
directing one of these shows. But from what I hear, that show is funny too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that. That's it.
Nice.
For now.
Mm-hmm. For me, listen, the Shock Tees are shooting this pilot, and we're very excited about it. We don't need money, but we do need crowd scenes coming up. So if
oh,
you
cool.
want to do something, check out the Facebook page for the Shock Tees coming up. There will be information about that. Kellen, thank you so much for being on. Real quick, should we do just a little more Alan Arkin? Yeah, how about...
I don't know. Should we?
I don't know.
I don't know. These video games.
I got too Jewish. Clayton, yeah. Take us out with your catchphrases.
My God. They're just boys dying.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.